6:30 a.m. KSDP Radio. I'm Kel Thurington, and this is Meet the People. My guest this morning is U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning. How's the day out there in your part of the woods, out in Sandpoint?
Well, it's a little overcast this morning, but maybe the clouds will break through and let some sunlight pass. It's been kind of cloudy for the last couple of days, but it's good to talk with you. How is Washington right now?
Well, it's hot and it's muggy, and we're expected to have a pretty hellacious thunderstorm here this afternoon. So it's typical Washington August weather. It's time to leave this place and get back to Alaska, where the air is clear and cool. Looking forward to it.
Well, Senator, you are on the Senate Health Committee and voted against the Democrat health bill, which did manage to pass out of the committee. Where do you see the health care debate going now? Is there going to be legislation calling for universal health care coverage passed this year?
Well, we are in the midst of great debate on health care. As you mentioned, the health committee on which I sit passed through a partisan work product several weeks ago. It, in my estimation, does not meet the goals that the president set out when he asked for health care reform. It does not bring down the cost, it does not increase access for the uninsured, and it does not improve the quality of health care. So we've got a lot of work to do if we're going to meet the president's goals. Now, keep in mind that there is another committee that also has jurisdiction on this issue, and that's the Senate Finance Committee. They look at it from the perspective of how we pay for this. That committee has been working in a very bipartisan manner for almost all of the summer, trying to craft a product. They have not yet been successful, but they continue to work on that. When we return to Washington, D.C. in September, that will be the issue that will be before us, as well as before the House. They, too, are in the midst of great debate over how we fashion health care reform. I think it is important to note that this is an enormously important issue, and it's enormously important that we get it right. It is something that affects 16% of our nation's economy. We've got an obligation to spend the time and make sure that we are addressing not only the needs of the uninsured, but we're making sure that those with insurance do have good access to a level of care that I think we here in this country have come to expect. So we've got a lot of work before us, but I remain optimistic that we will be making good progress when we come back in September. One of the things that I will be doing when I'm up in the state through the month of August will be holding town hall meetings, asking people for their input. We need to hear from you what you think is good and bad in some of the proposals that are out there. So we'll be making those connections with Alaskans.
Well, Senator, a lot of people are asking why the Obama administration can't get its health care legislation through Congress. After all, the Democrats have a majority in Congress.
Well, but remember that just because you may have the requisite number of votes to kind of roll an issue, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're able to build good policy. And I think the administration recognizes that this is a very important aspect of our economy. Again, let's take the time to get it right. They could move it through just on party lines, but I think they recognize that that would not be a product that would perhaps be well received around the country. I think they also recognize that even within their own party ranks, there's a lot of Democrats that simply don't like the direction that has been proposed. So they don't have 100% of their members lined up to support an option that's out there. So it's easier said than done.
And you kind of alluded to my next question, which is there's an interesting divide developing amongst Democrats in Congress. You know, we're hearing more about the group that's called the Blue Dog Democrats. Can you talk a bit about this? Why is this divide taking place, and what does it mean?
Well, you know, the divide so much that we see back here not just relates to health care, but, for instance, when we're talking about energy legislation or other matters that impact people across the country, oftentimes you're coming at it from the perspective of not Republican versus Democrat, but perhaps from a more regional perspective. And I think we're seeing some of that play out here in health care. We in Alaska, as a very rural state, have a lot of similarities with some of these Blue Dog Democrats who represent rural parts of the country. And so when they hear a proposal that says that this government-run option is going to be based off the Medicare model, and they recognize, as we do in Alaska, that the Medicare model doesn't work because of the reimbursement rates, because you can't get providers that will take new Medicare individuals, where in parts of your state or your country, you competition just doesn't exist because we're as rural as we are. That's a different set of issues than, say, somebody who represents a place like Massachusetts, and you know, you look at Boston with all of your medical universities and many, many medical professionals and researchers. We don't have that in a state like Alaska. You don't have that in certain parts of rural Montana or North Dakota. So much of this comes down to a regional perspective.
If you're just joining us here on Meet the People, I'm Kels Thurington, talking with Senator Lisa Murkowski. Senator, there are growing concerns about the mounting federal debt and the record federal deficit in the current fiscal year, and the Obama administration is forecasting similar deficits in the next couple of fiscal years. Are you and others in Congress willing to support this kind of spending?
Well, I tell you, we all must be concerned about what is happening to the national debt and federal spending. And you're kind of talking longer term, but let me just give your listeners a quick synopsis of what we have seen in spending in the past 19 months. We enacted a stimulus bill back in February of 2008. That was our first stimulus. That was $168 billion. Then you had a series of bailouts throughout last year. You had the AIG, we had Fannie, we had Freddie. This took you up an additional about $325 billion. Then in October of 2008, we had the TARP bailout. That was a $700 billion price tag. Then in February, on top of everything that we had done, because we needed to right the economy, we needed to save those who were too big to fail. Well, in February of 2009, the Congress passed, I didn't support it, but the Congress passed a $787 billion stimulus. So that then takes us up to where we are right now, where we are looking at different iterations of legislation on the health care bill, where we're talking about costs anywhere between $1 and $1.6 trillion to pay for these proposed legislation. So what you're looking at is, in about a 19-month period, is over $3 trillion in federal spending, and this is not counting our regular yearly appropriations, which we are in the process of advancing as we speak. This is over $3 trillion in less than 2 years on these additional things, this stimulus. We're going to be talking tomorrow and perhaps voting tomorrow on additional money for the bailout, if you will, for the auto industry with the cash for clunkers. That's going to be what the House has proposed is a $2 billion add-on. Where do you get it from? We take it from the future, from what our kids and our grandkids will be owing as part of our national debt. It is not sustainable. This is an issue that is as serious as energy, as healthcare, as our foreign relations, because believe you me, our national debt is going to have impact on all of those things that are important to us.
Senator, I know your time is precious, but I just have a few more questions for you this morning.
Sure.
What do you make of Governor Palin's recent resignation? This is kind of close to home for you because your father was governor of Alaska when Palin ran for governor. Actually, she beat him in the Republican primary. Mm-hmm. What do you make of this all? Does she have a political future after resigning?
Well, I don't profess to know what it is that she has in mind, what her plan may be. I know what she has indicated publicly, that that she's going to leave her options open and perhaps help other candidates and individuals that believe in the same principles and causes that she does. I can tell you from my perspective, being back here in Washington, D.C., she really does have quite a following in the lower 48. People are looking in Alaska and saying, well, since she has stepped down from the governor's seat, it's not likely that she will continue her political opportunities within Alaska. But there are many, many people out here who I know are urging her to remain in the political spotlight, in that public light, and do what she can to encourage others. So we'll just have to see where she goes.
Were you surprised by the announcement that Palin made when she resigned, or were you given some sort of advanced notice that this was going to take place?
No, I was not. Now, in fairness, I was with my family. This was just before the 4th of July. So I was out at a lake and pretty inaccessible, but I think most Alaskans were surprised. I think we anticipated an announcement about whether she would intend to run or not run again, but I think the announcement that she would be stepping down early was a surprise to most all of us.
Final question, Senator, on a different subject. You and Senator Mark Begich sent a letter to the EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson after a meeting urging the EPA to clear the way for development of the Kensington Gold Mine near Juneau. What did the letter say, and what have you heard back?
Well, as you may know, this is a very important issue for the folks down in and around Ketchikan. The Kensington Gold Mine is a great opportunity for jobs and really to develop in an area that in a manner that would make sense for the region. So Senator Begich and I had a meeting and sent a letter to the EPA administrator, and we asked that the EPA drop the agency's objection to the Army Corps of Engineers permit that had been issued for the Kensington. This issue was taken all the way up to the Supreme Court as to whether or not the EPA or the Corps had jurisdiction. And the court ruled in June that the permits that the Corps had issued were valid, they were legal, and that the Corps had rightfully issued them. And so it was really unconscionable that an administration that really insisted so strongly on following the rule of law, that they would try to make an end run around the Supreme Court. And I think that's what Senator Begich and I both felt the EPA was doing. Mm. So included in our letter, we outlined where we felt the EPA had made errors just within their facts. We explained that there is more than sufficient data to move forward on the mine. We emphasize the economic impact of the project on Southeast and really urged the EPA administrator to do the right thing when it comes to the Kensington. In terms of the status on this, the EPA has been, let's just say, resistant to doing anything immediate. Now, there was a public comment period that the Corps went through. The public comment closed on the 3rd of August, so just day before yesterday, and we had an opportunity to weigh in, as did other senators, on this issue, and it's my hope that we will be able to get the permits moving for this important mining operation, and that the folks who are counting on these good-paying jobs for their families will be able to get to work.
Well, Senator Murkowski, thank you for joining us today on Meet the People. Is there anything that I didn't ask you that you want to get in and tell the people of Sandpoint and King Cove this morning?
Well, other than just thank you for the opportunity to reach out, I know several of these issues are issues that you may feel that you are a long ways from Washington, D.C. and what is happening. But whether it's our debate on health care, we all recognize that we're going to be impacted by access to quality care. Whether it's our debate for the Supreme Court nominee, we will be taking that vote up tomorrow on Judge Sotomayor. But again, we are a long ways from the Supreme Court, but I think we in Alaska, perhaps more than in many other states, appreciate the bearing that the courts have on our operations and whether it's issues that we feel strongly about, like protection of the Second Amendment or property rights. We recognize that what happens here in Washington does have a real nexus with what happens at home. So I appreciate the opportunity to take a few minutes this afternoon and give you all a little bit of an update.
Well, thank you very much, Senator. Maybe we could have you back in the not-too-distant future to talk with us again.
I'd look forward to it.
All right. Thank you, Senator Murkowski.
Have a good day. Thank you. Have a great morning.
That was U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski talking to us this morning live on the telephone from her office in Washington, D.C. A lot of interesting things going on in Washington, and she talked about some of them. We hope to have her back in the not-too-distant future to talk more about these things. We'll go back now to the music here on 8:30 a.m. KSDP. Then at the top of the hour, we go to NPR News from Washington, D.C. I'm Kel Thurington, and that is Meet the People for today.